So enough with all the warning. Here's a little bit of a backdrop here. You know, we know that these partnerships, limited liability companies, because of their great flexibility, have over time become increasingly some of the most important forms of entity that can be used in both business and family planning. So both in family businesses and closely held businesses, due to their flexibility, these are used a great, great deal. Increasingly more so every single year that goes by. In fact, I think the limited liability company itself, since it's been created in 1991 in Texas, is far outstripped all the other entities as far as utilization and appears to continue to do so on a going forward basis. Often, because these entities are used and formed for both family type businesses or closely held businesses, there are key individuals that are involved in the operations of these businesses on an individual basis. And if anything were to happen to one of these key individuals, it can have an impact on the nature of the business, on the nature of the company, and that's what we want to discuss with you a little bit this afternoon. In particular, we want to talk about the impact of the death of an owner, the disability of an owner, in particular where that disability will change the dynamics of how that owner may interact with the business itself, or the divorce of an owner, and how that too may impact the arrangements between the entity, its other members, and possibly the spouse. I'm going to start with the death of a of what happens to, in the case of a death of a member. Now, a couple of things happen when this occurs, when this event occurs in the life of an entity. The first thing, of course, is you need to think about the impact that the death has on the general management of that company. If the person was a significant decision maker, how decisions are going to be made, how management is going to be carried out under the terms of the company agreement. And that's something as you're putting these documents together to consider. This is kind of succession planning kind of discussions that should take place and be woven into your documents and the thinking as you actually prepare documents and advise your clients on how they want their documents prepared. As it relates to ownership, you need to consider that when a person dies, what happens to their ownership in that company on a going forward basis. Now, as soon as they die, their estate, by statute under Texas law, becomes an assignee. And we've talked many times in these conferences about the difference between being admitted as a partner and being admitted as a member to one of these entities versus being an assignee. An assignee has very, very limited rights as it relates to their involvement with the entity. And so you have somewhat of a truncated set of rights that arise on behalf of the estate and the heirs under that estate at the time the person dies. These limitations are significant, and you should become familiar with them through the business organization code. You can, by contract, because so much can be changed by contractual agreement under the company agreement or the partnership agreement, you can, by contract, modify those rights to increase them significantly if you want to. And plus, you can, by contract, cause the heirs to be admitted as a member or as a partner through that process. So you can change those dynamics contractually by the documentation that you create. So one of the things to consider is at the time of death, what do you want to happen with the person who has passed away? What do you want to happen with the heirs at that point in time, and how do you want the long-term relationship to take place between the person who died, their estate rather, and their heirs, as well as the other partners of the entity itself?
So can you completely exclude out any of the heirs in the contract or the formation documents then?
Certainly. I mean, you could, it's going to go by however it's handled under the will.
Okay.
And so the will dictate who the heirs are going to be. Those heirs will ultimately be no more than assignees unless the partnership agreement or LLC company agreement says differently. And again, they could be admitted. You could have in the agreement that they could be admitted or will be admitted by contractual agreement of the other members or other partners of the entity.
Okay. And, but if the heirs don't sign off on it or anything, does that ever arise as any kind of a problem in the fact that they're not going to gain any type of ownership from that?
From that. Well, one of the things that's often done if you provide for it contractually in the company agreements is you'll state that they will not be admitted. If they can be admitted, but will not be admitted until they sign off on the agreement, assuming all the obligations under the agreement. which at that point in time, they're kind of put to an election. They can either stay in the capacity as an assignee, in which case they may have no exposure for liabilities, but they also won't be involved in management, although basically get the benefit of some limited rights to access books and records, as well as the right to the economics, the positive economics that may fall out of the deal that otherwise would be assigned. So often, of course, you end up having provisions that anticipate differently. That is, you don't necessarily want the surviving partners to be